She crashes for 15 hours, gets a long shower, puts in a few hours at the office to appease a pepper on the warpath, and then drops by Bruce's private lab to find him ass-deep and punked, as she expected. She changes out of her work clothes, scattering them like a trail of breadcrumbs through her loft for Dummy to pick up, and puts on jeans and a tank top instead, twisting her hair up as she goes. Half an hour later, she pushes open the door to Loki's lab to find the god bent over, one hand clutching the edge of the table, the other on her stomach, eyes closed. The only thing that keeps Tony from flying into a panic is the look on her face, something grotesquely torn between elation and horror. "Loki?" she asks from the doorway, knowing better than to corner a potentially hurt trickster.
"She's moving,"
Loki supplies after a moment, her voice low enough to be almost indistinguishable from her male one.
Isn't that a good thing?
The glare that earns her is poisonous.
"It means I am running out of time, Stark,"
she spits, every consonant a weapon. Tony's mouth, already open to protest, snaps shut. Right. Thanos needs to go kaboom before baby can go hello. Despite knowing better, she starts moving toward Loki, hands empty at her sides. Harmless, harmless. By the time she's 3 feet away, the other woman has straightened up and smoothed her shirt back down to cover a sliver of exposed skin. For the longest second, Tony's hand hovers in the air between them, above the baby bump. She's never touched it intentionally, she realizes. Even when they were screwing each other's brains out, she sort of avoided it. Her hand drops.
"You know I'll help, right?" She's pretty sure the only reason Loki kisses her like she's drowning is to shut her up.
Somewhere along the line, Tony started leaving a few changes of clothing with Loki. Work clothes, mostly. It makes sense, since she tends to show up in couture, and if she ruins too many outfits, Pepper will murder her. So it's only practical. Stop reading into it. She breezes into the loft, kisses Loki hello because she can, and makes her way over to the box containing her stuff, stripping off her blouse as she goes. Then, halfway between there and here, a god suddenly pops up in front of her, hand outstretched, going for the arc reactor. Tony flinches violently, body already moving to twist into herself, to try and get away because she wears her heart outside her body, and people touching it has never led to good things before. It's a reflex. It's survival instinct. It's necessary because it hurts, and it kills her, and... Loki pulls back. She pulls back, palms spread outward. No danger, see? Like Tony is a skittish animal. "What purpose does it serve?" she asks, politely, evenly. She's not going to apologize, but Tony doesn't want her to. There's something strangely respectful in the way the god backs off, eyes lowered briefly, like she understands.
Yeah, Tony really needs to stop identifying with Loki. "Like you don't know,"
she snorts, finishes pulling off her blouse and fiddling with one of her bra straps, just because.
"You had Clint for a week."
A shrug, immodest. "I know that it keeps you alive, no more. The hawk did not know its exact function." Tony cocks her head, considers the other woman for a moment, then offers, "Trade you." Loki hesitates, then nods.
"Which form is the real you?"
finally lowering her hands. The god flicks her fingers at her own chest. This is as real as the male form you have seen. I can wear other people's faces, but those are stolen. In this form, gender is fluid. And the other one? Loki smirks. My turn. What does this do? She taps a perfectly manicured nail against the arc reactor, a reflection of what she tried to do in the tower so long ago. Sometimes, Tony imagines what it would have been like, belonging to Loki so completely. Most of the time, she really doesn't. Keeps a bunch of shrapnel out of my heart. She smiles, and it's not a nice thing. They blew me up with my own bomb. How does it feel? She shakes her head. What about the other form? The blue one? The god frowns, and it strikes Tony that they're still standing in the middle of the room, like they're facing off. In a way, they are. Nothing like matching verbal wits with the god of lies, really. Even if that god suddenly looks less than amused. In the form of a monster. Did Thor tell you about it? Shaking her head, Tony confesses, you turn blue sometimes when you focus on your magic too much. It's gorgeous. The god snorts, disbelieving, angry even. There is nothing gorgeous about being a monster. Sure there is, Tony corrects, but sensing that she is about to get defenestrated or worse, shrugs. But I won't bug you about it if you don't want me to. I'd like to see it, though, one day. There is something in Loki's green eyes that Tony can't quite identify, half hidden under the anger, the disgust. Tony knows a bit about self-hatred, but the god before her takes the cake. So damaged. So lovely. So dangerous. She's always been far too fascinated with things that can kill her. But since a change in subject is in order, she asks, how does what feel? She can tell Loki wants to argue, wants to rage, but Tony is taking a page out of Pep's book by simply not playing. Loki seems to see that too, because after a minute of silent staring, she shakes herself free of the impending rage. Or maybe she simply tucks it out of sight, deep down, where all the old wrongs fester. Darkly, she draws. The knowledge that it took your own creation to defeat you. Tony gasps quietly. She's never considered. How does it feel? Horrible, is her first impulse. But also darkly, bitterly satisfying. They needed something she built with her own two hands in order to even try and kill her. And they still failed. Hetty, she admits, almost unwillingly. Good. Loki laughs, head thrown back, mouth open. A shame, she offers, that you were born mortal. You would have made such a delightful god. Darling, Tony draws, with heat curling in her belly because this entire conversation is turning her strangely on. All the vulnerability and bravado, all the rage folded neatly away and used to make brilliant and terrible things. They are far too alike for this world to survive them, Tony thinks, and invades Loki's space to start walking her backwards toward the couch. She smirks, drawing on that part of her she keeps buried these days. The part that was proud of being called the Merchant of Death, Death's Bride. The part of her that loved knowing that her name was on every bomb in the civilized world. Who says I'm not? The backs of Loki's knees hit the couch, and she lowers herself down, only a little clumsily. Tony kneels before her in the V of her legs, licks her lips. After all, I got you, didn't I? Loki trails a finger around the edges of the reactor, and then up and up. Until she pushes her thumb into Tony's open mouth. Her smirk matches Tony's as she murmurs, "Indeed." This week, Tony gets to choose the movie, and she chooses Terminator 2, because A, the first one sucks, B, there are two people in dire need of pop culture knowledge on the team, and C, she just likes to torture people. Arnie? Seriously, Arnie? Clint looks like she has personally insulted him, his mother, and his beau. Yes. The series was okay, Bruce points out from where he's managed to snatch a chair this week, far away from Thor's exuberant gestures and Tony's cold feet in search of warmth. Bastard. You just have a crush on Summer Glau. Dude! Clint throws in. She looks like she's 12. She makes a convincing robot, Natasha points out. And Tony's gears get stuck for a moment because Natasha Romanoff just admitted to watching a campy sci-fi show. Tony's inner nerd is waving a flag and dancing the jig. There is a series? Steve asks from his seat next to Tony, offering her the popcorn bowl with a smile. She wants to pat him on his head. On his actual head. In a non-dirty way. There's something wrong with her. Keeping half an eye on the crappy special effects, Tony hums. More movies, too. We should watch them sometime, he suggests. Still smiling at her like a hopeful puppy. She hums again, chewing. Next week, same time, she tells him, winks. His expression falls briefly, but then he nods and offers her the bowl again. When she shakes her head, he buries his head in it and refuses to meet her gaze anymore. Bruce sighs explosively. Weird. Where's Thor when you need him to distract everyone? Hey, Coulson, why does Thor get out of this? He's gone home. Is home code for to screw his very smart and pretty girlfriend? Or for, you know, Asgard? She gets Death Glare number 7 for her efforts and awards herself 5 points. Hey, Clint pipes up. Which one is the next one? The one with the chick or with Batman? Chickenator, Tony answers. Who do you think would win, Arnie or Batman? Most of the people in the room look at her funny. Bruce asks, Terminator Arnie or actual Arnie? Oh yeah. He can pretend that he's a scientific scientist whose science is all he wants, but the geek will out every single time. Actual. Terminator Arnie would cream Batman. Not if Batman had his tool belt, Clint argues, a very severe expression on his face. Something explodes on screen. No one is paying attention. What's he gonna do, abseil Arnie to death? It's not what kind of tools you have, Stark. It's how you use them. Tony wolf whistles and rolls her tongue behind her teeth in the most obscene way she can manage. Coulson rubs his forehead as Clint waggles his eyebrows. Do you two have to turn every conversation dirty? Steve briefly nods his head in agreement, and then buries his head back in the popcorn bowl.
I'm sorry, Tony asks. Were you here for the stimulating discussion of Arnie versus Batman? If so, stick around for the encore. Astronaut versus Caveman.
Let me guess, you're backing the astronaut? Clint snipes.
Obviously, I'm a futurist.
You just want his tools. He sings songs.
Yes, Bruce belatedly answers Coulson's question, just as Natasha starts smacking Clint.
They really do.
Doombots are boring. And yes, that's Tony's scientific fucking opinion. Why do you ask? They're vicious and half-magic, half-technology, and they pack a mean punch. But once you've figured out their weak spots, it's just a question of pinning them down long enough to yank their wiring and scatter the pieces into the Hudson. In other words, boring!
Tony and the rest of the fearless superhero squad have been terminating the critters for almost 2 hours. For some reason, Doom has decided that quantity is better than quality, and flooded Manhattan with at least 100 of the damn things. They figured out early on that the bots are meant to be a distraction, so S.H.I.E.L.D. placed teams in all critical locations, and lo and behold, they took down one of Doom's flesh-and-bone goon squads half an hour ago. Caught red-handed trying to steal some valuable artifact, blah, blah, Tony stopped listening after the initial announcement. Since then, it's been grueling, mindless slogging through cranky robots. The whole thing would go a lot faster if Thor were here, but the guy has been back in Asgard for almost 3 weeks now, doing princely things. Tony's actually starting to miss the guy. Okay, so she mostly misses his throwing arm and the way he can turn everyone utterly speechless during Team Movie Nights of Awesome. And yes, she will kill Clint for making her use that stupid-ass title.
Where's some lightning when you need it? Tony grumbles, smacking another bot into an already ruined shopfront and pouting behind her faceplate.
I can't believe I'm actually saying this, Clint chimes in. But I wish I had something other than my bow and one handgun.
I thought the exploding arrowheads worked. Cat pipes up, just as his shield goes flying again.
Tony pointedly looks the other way because she doesn't care how cool it is. The damn thing violates the laws of physics, and thus sets her teeth on edge.
I only had 25 of those, Hawkeye responds. And they all take a moment to appreciate that the guy who never misses used all 25 of his exploding arrows, and there are still at least that many bots flying around. Tony is starting to sort of hate Doom.
You could always try it Hulk style, she suggests, grabbing another of the things by the scruff and flinging it at the guy in question, who happily squeezes it into a pulp of metal and sparking wires, grinning toothily as he does.
Hulk smash,
he clarifies for Tony, as he uses the freshly squeezed bot to shoot another one out of the sky.
Waste not, want not, Tony mutters.
I don't think I have the upper body strength for it, Clint admits.
What do you think, you fuck-ugly can of scrap?
He asks idly, followed by the sounds of rapid gunfire, and then a cheerful,
"Bye-bye, sucker! Tell your mechanical mama I said hello."
The Incredible Hawkeye, Tony laughs, making your mama jokes since... How old are you anyway?
Less chatter, Cap tries.
Not for the first time. To rein them in without much success. The pitfalls of working with assassins and scientists instead of soldiers. Tony is not very sympathetic.
Sure, Cap. A lady never tells her age, Stark. Hasn't anyone told you that?
Then, totally irreverent, Clint shoots another bot dead with a handgun, which should not be possible, and asks, "Do you think I could ride one of those things?"
Tony is about to tell him exactly why riding a tin can built by an unhinged supervillain is a bad idea when something slams into her from behind, and she gets slammed into a nearby building.
Ouch! She tries to slow her impact down by twisting to get the repulsors into place, but doesn't quite manage, taking the brunt of her own weight on her right shoulder. Weak spot. The HUD flickers in front of her eyes, and for a horrible, horrible moment, Tony is in freefall without knowing how exactly this happened, how she got there, or even who shot her out of the sky.
Then, darkness.
Waking up is never Tony's favorite time of day. Less so when there are beeping machines and white ceilings to greet her. She's in a hospital. For a moment, something wickedly spiteful rears its head somewhere in the general region of her chest. Tried again. Failed again. Tony fucking Stark prevails. And then she realizes that she's in a hospital. Fuck. Her first impulse is to check between her boobs for the reactor, which is exactly where she left it, thank God. Her second is to pull the IV from her hand and get the fuck out of there, because she hates hospitals, and she hates doctors, and she hates people doing things to her body that she hasn't agreed to. The last time she woke up with a car battery hooked up between her boobs, and she's still not entirely over that. So...
Shh, a voice says, somewhere above and to her right. Leave that alone, Tony.
Steve. That's Steve.
Tony relaxes marginally and finally opens her eyes, just as he grabs her hand, smooths the tape back down over the needle in her skin.
You're just fine. Calm down. She thinks she snarls at him, but maybe not, because he looks ridiculously sappy and not appropriately scared.
The fuck? With a mildly disapproving look, he provides an explanation.
You fell. The Hulk caught you before you hit the ground, but the force made you pass out anyway, and we couldn't get you out of your suit.
She cringes.
You pried it off, didn't you?
It'd certainly explain why her body feels like she got run over a couple of times.
You were unconscious,
Steve almost yells, squeezing her hand too tightly.
So you tore apart a few $1 million of unique equipment?
She's protective of her suit. Sue her. Also, she can practically feel where every single metal plate dug into her skin when they wrenched them off. Getting her out of the suit without knowing where the manual releases are is not fun. Maybe she should have shown someone other than Bruce, but there are those trust issues rearing their heads again. Which makes her feel stupid. Which makes her feel pissed. Which makes her yell at Steve for being worried about her.
We didn't know what kind of damage you'd taken.
Jarvis could have run diagnostics.
The thing wasn't responding.
Tony stops. She just stops. Because Steve just called Jarvis a thing, which is technically the appropriate term, but absolutely not. Because Jarvis understands sarcasm, and he worries, and he motherhens, and he's the best friend Tony has, even if she had to build him herself. And she did build him. And teach him.
language and concepts and ideas and how to defend himself and how to hide himself and how to be smarter than anyone else and how to never get caught. She taught him all that like you teach a baby how to walk and talk and play hide and seek. And Steve just called him a thing? And the first thing she thinks isn't, oh, it's on. No, the first thing she thinks of is Loki. Lounging on the futon in her lab, staring at the ceiling and having a conversation about the inanities of Earth's entertainment with Jarvis without batting an eyelash. The second thing she thinks is, why am I comparing Steve to Loki? Again? The third is a heartfelt, uh-oh. Jarvis is not a thing, she snarls, far too late. You're impossible, he grinds out between clenched teeth, and then, still holding her hand, too tightly, ow, he snaps, go out with me. Wait, what? Go out with me. As in... on a date? He still looks pissed. Yes. Huh. Well, it explains a few things. Like asking if she's free on the weekend and inviting her to that opening and Clint's comments and face-palming and all the aggressive pigtail pulling. Steve was flirting with her. Steve was 1940s flirting with her. Whatever, it's not happening. Nice delivery there. Maybe tone down the homicidal rage a little bit. Tony, he says, low and warningly, in his Captain America Says So voice. You drive me up the wall, but I... You don't want to go out with me. She tells him, fast. Before he can tell her what he feels. It'd be all lies and confusion anyway. Stubborn set of jaw? Check. Angry glint in his eyes? Check. You can't know what I want. Tony finally wrenches her hand free, folds her fingers around her arc reactor, and closes her eyes so she doesn't have to see the damn hospital ceiling. Where are the annoying doctors when you need one anyway? You want Peggy, with her dark hair and pretty face and red lipstick. You want Howard, with his brilliant brain and his crazy ideas. You want what you've lost. You don't want me. Saying that should hurt, she thinks. Like ripping her heart out of her chest. Again. Because Tony has loved Captain America for longer than she's hated him. Surprisingly, though, all she feels is a dull throb that she's going to attribute to her injuries. It's weird. You don't know what I want, Steve repeats, sounding calm all of a sudden. She cracks one eye open to find him sitting with his elbows on his knees beside her bed. Hands on his face. It's not... This is not about who you look like, Tony. And you don't remind me of Howard. Not anymore. He says the last part very quietly. And Tony feels sorry from the bottom of her heart suddenly that she can't just be stupidly in love with the guy the way she's supposed to be. Steve would be so much easier than anything she's been up to recently. Loki. Shit. Maybe I don't remind you of my old man, she admits. But you remind me. Steve looks up from his study of the floor. All my life I watched him run around looking for you, talking about you, staring at pictures of you while he got drunk. Do you have any idea how hard I tried to get him to notice me? To look at me the way he looked at your pictures just once? The old guy loved you far more than he ever loved me, Steve. She licks her lips. I can be your teammate. Hell, I can even be your friend. But I can't date you, Cap.
He makes a wounded noise that she ignores, to add a weak, sorry.
And she rolls onto her side and curls into herself, pretending to be asleep until long minutes later. Steve gets up and walks away.
Apparently, one little concussion is all it takes to get Thor back down to Earth. Fury wired him that the team is down a heavy hitter, and pronto, instant god of thunder. He marches into her room like the giant, unstoppable thing that he is, and slobbers all over her like the golden retriever he somehow also is, wishing her well in his complicated godspeak. How the hell is it that Loki speaks perfectly normal, if posh, English, and Thor sounds like Shakespeare's slightly demented sock puppet? But he glares the shield goon that tries to make her sit in a wheelchair into submission. The shield maiden of Midgard shall not be treated like the infirm. She shall wear her wounds with pride and her head held high, as befits one of her status and glory in battle. Then he forcibly hooks her arm into his and leads her out the door and, yeah, okay, Thor's kind of a dork, but also very awesome. There is a nurse waiting outside her room with her prescription pills, but Thor just grabs them out of her hands and keeps walking. Outside, he looks around and then passes her over to Pepper with another monologue. Pepper hurries her into the car, and then scolds Tony until she's blue in the face for being careless and reckless and scaring her. And Tony points out that she suffers from nothing more than a concussion, a sprained shoulder, and a whole bunch of bruises that came from Steve being overzealous and getting the suit off her. Which she has not forgiven him for, because as long as she focuses on that, she doesn't have to be mortified at how he's apparently crushing on her. And has been for a while. Pepper purses her lips and tells Happy to just drive. They drop Tony off at the tower, with strict orders of bed rest and paperwork, and then jet off to the airport. Tony gets nothing out of her former PA except 30 minutes of ranting, and still, it settles something inside of her. Pepper, yelling, it's more familiar than anything else that's happened in the past 2 years. As soon as she makes it into the lobby, Bruce and Clint are flanking her, steering her straight toward her private elevator. And okay, Tony can catch a hint when it's thrown in her face repeatedly and at high velocity. You're hurting me. Why are you hurting me? They have been since the hospital. She'll blame not noticing earlier on the concussion. In a move that makes her wonder how Clint survived a single day, much less years as a super-secret ninja, he snags her arm, pulls her off kilter, and asks, very loudly, "Do you like Chinese?" Tony stops, twists out of his hold, and pokes him in the cheek. "Ow!" he yowls, jumping out of reach, holding his cheek. "You don't go around poking people, Stark!" "Are you an imposter?" Tony asks, only half joking. "Why the hell would I be an imposter?" "Because I asked why you're hurting me, and you tried to distract me. By asking me if I like Chinese. We had Chinese 3 days ago." He shrugs. "Maybe you changed your mind since then?" "You're a pretty pathetic super-secret ninja," Tony observes. Clint pouts. "She has painkillers as an excuse. What's his?" Shaking her head, she turns to Bruce instead. "Why are you hurting me?" "Ty?" Clint asks. "Did someone blow up my tower? Did you break the internet?
Did you touch my coffee machine? What?
Her voice rises toward the end, but she's fucking entitled because she's being herded like some retarded lemming, and they're stalling, and she hurts because someone ripped her suit off her, and she kind of wants to puke, and what the fuck? Steve, Clint blurts. What? He actually winces. You kind of broke him, actually. He's mopey and angry and bitching at everyone, and we thought it might be a good idea to keep the two of you apart until, you know. Until he learns to deal with a girl telling him no? Tony asks archly, hands on her hips. She's glad it's late and the lobby is empty. Yes? It sounds like a question. And why exactly does that translate into steering me like I'm retarded? Steve is really grumpy. So instead of locking him into the gym and telling him to get over it, you drag the girl with the concussion all over the place like idiots, on the off chance that I, what, go running after him to pour salt on his metaphorical boo-boos? Yes? You do realize that if he'd left me alone, nothing at all would have happened, right? Tony, Bruce cautions, long enough for Clint to get in something other than yes. You told the man he reminds you of your father, Stark. That's kind of a low blow. We wanted to make sure there are no further incidents until he's less likely to punch out someone's wall in a delayed teenage angst attack. Or something. Natasha said it a lot better. Natasha is in on this? He scratches his head. Well, no, she said we're idiots. But you didn't see the guy. You really got him. He's been a dick to me since the first time we met. Clint just about swallows his tongue. Bruce eeps. He's crushing on you, Tony, he says, in the same tone of voice you use for, and this is a spoon. The round end goes in your mouth. Fuck spoons, and wait, what? Everyone knows that Captain Dixicle is hot for her? Fuck this, she mutters, because her head hurts and her brain hurts and everything hurts. And these people are supposed to be superheroes, but they're really a bunch of high schoolers. Junior high, actually, at the most. And if Tony, of all people, notices, that means it's bad. There's a reason she doesn't play well with others, and she remembers what that reason is now. It's people. They're messy and complicated and illogical and far, far too fragile. Tell Steve he can get his emo on wherever. I'm out of here. With that, she spins on her heel and marches right back out the door, hailing a cab and driving away before Clint can catch up with her. Bruce, she notices, doesn't even try. He lingers at the entrance, watching her go with worried eyes. Fucking A. Now they've driven her out of her own home. She rubs her forehead, closes her eyes, and tells Jarvis to black her out. She's between taxis, trying to find another one to take her to Loki's lab, the way she has for months, when a feeling like sizzling grease climbs up her spine, and a cold hand clamps down on her arm, dragging her sideways and then up, down, around. She lands on the floor with her gut in her throat and bile in her mouth, breathing hard. Loki stands above her, an icy expression on her regal features. You are not seriously injured, she says, curtly. More a question than a statement. You were out on your own. I kind of ran off, Tony manages, between deep,
deep breaths, trying to sort her insides out and, if at all possible, not puke on the god's shoes. But, yeah, concussion. Sprain. Bruises. Loki doesn't answer. Her face, if possible, grows colder. After a few minutes of sitting on the floor in a heap, Tony's higher brain function slowly comes back online. She is with Loki, in the lab. Loki popped up and teleported her. Apparently, teleporting and a concussion don't go well together. She makes a mental note, moves on. Loki picked her up. Loki is glaring at her with icy intensity. Loki isn't talking. Loki picked her up. Loki asked about her injuries. Loki knew she wasn't badly hurt before coming to pick her up. You were worried about me. Don't be ridiculous, comes the prompt answer. I simply need you alive for a little while longer. And that does things to Tony's stomach that she will also blame on the concussion. So she blurts, Steve is crushing on me. The force of Loki's glare practically sizzles off the upper layers of Tony's epidermis. I don't share, she growls, so low and ferocious that Tony isn't sure whether to be turned on or seriously fucking terrified. Naturally, she deflects. Oh, so this is a thing? A thing with you and me and the sex and the... A thing that warrants possessive displays of possessiveness? Because I wasn't sure, and there was never actually a memo, and, who doesn't want Captain America on their dance card? She trails off round about there because she can't even pretend. Not now. Steve is like this festering wound in her side that overlaps with the scar that's good old dad, and it's just... big. And painful. Adjectives fail. Loki snarls, a vicious, angry thing, all bared teeth, and suddenly Tony remembers that Thor said something about wolves once, in connection with his wayward brother, and yeah, she can see that far too well. I do not share, Stark, the god repeats, slow and careful. Syllables clearly separate, like gunshots. Tony knows all about gunshots. Gut shots. Look, she rhymed. Concussion, shut up. Fact is, she thought they were just screwing, and now here's Steve wanting babies and puppies from her, and here's Loki wanting, what, monogamy from her? Loki, who likes to wrap her hand around Tony's neck when they kiss and squeeze just a little harder than is polite. Loki, who knows about how pretty explosives are and tells Tony she should be a god of fire and machines. Loki, who opens Tony up and shows her what lies inside, points out all the possibilities that make shivers run down Tony's spine. That Loki... That very same, impossibly cold, hot Loki is staking a claim like Tony is some sort of new toy. Something shiny and rare and desirable, maybe. Something to be owned. And it should piss Tony off, like Steve's ridiculous crush pisses her off. But it doesn't. Because she thought she didn't, but she does, and she's not making any sense at all. But Loki is claiming her. Loki wants her. She doesn't answer fast enough, apparently, because Loki has to prove she's superior in every way by pulling Tony to her feet with only one hand, Like she's riding something as simple as a chair, not almost 120 pounds of curvy female with extra metal parts. She puts Tony on her feet, and then, before she can catch her balance, presses their mouths together, hitches their hips close, and eats Tony alive. Tony stands very still for a moment, flailing her arms only a little. Then she gives in, thinking how they end far too many conversations like this lately. It's almost like they're using sex to escape talking about important things, like emotions. But Tony would never do that, and it's not like Loki is damaged in a lot of the same ways Tony is, and kind of copes in the same ways too. No, Your Honor, no sex was ever used to suppress inherent feelings of worthlessness, insufficiency, or freakishness. At all. Ever. Right. Fuck. Perhaps it's the concussion, but it's more likely that Tony's simply raw from the emotional upheaval of getting injured, having her suit ripped up, having Jarvis called a thing, finding out Steve's hate-on for her is actually a hard-on, and then getting waylaid by her friends who have suddenly turned into the kind of dicks that blame a woman for saying no to a man. Or perhaps it's simply that Loki came looking for her, even if she'd probably deny it to the death, and then laid a claim on her with tongue and teeth and snarled words. Just thinking about it sends memory sparks down Tony's spine. A pregnant woman should not be this skilled at angry sex. Whatever it is, lying in the semi-dark of midnight in New York, Tony finally dares to reach out that hand, to finish that aborted gesture from days ago. Loki's belly is taut and strangely hard and soft at the same time under her palm. And warm. It seems far too warm. Strange. The rest of the god is always cool to the touch. She can't help it. When Loki doesn't immediately rip off her hand, she pokes the belly. And prods a little. And makes faces at it. Eventually, Loki snorts delicately. "You behave like a child with a new toy," she observes, somewhat snidely, but not actually unkindly. Here's a secret. It's possible to fuck the meanness right out of the God of Lies. You only have to try hard enough. Tony shrugs, rolls onto her back, and keeps her hands to herself. I've never actually been around anyone who's pregnant before. Surely some friends. She shakes her head. Not really the friends type me. Or the baby type. I actually had that taken care of when I was 25. Permanently. She mimes, cutting something. Loki actually twists onto her side, head in hand so she can loom over Tony. You had someone remove your ability to have children? She sounds aghast. Tony shrugs. Guess I knew, even back then, that I'd make a shitty mother. I mean, can you imagine me raising a kid? It'd be... She shakes her head. Tony is terrified of being a parent like her father, but secretly, she is even more terrified of being a parent like her mother. Pale gray in the background. Unwilling, unable, or simply too numbed by sherry and society parties to give a fuck a better child. Because Tony's biggest fuck-ups have been and always will be not the things she does, but the things she doesn't do. Like thinking about where all her bombs go. Like telling anyone she's dying. Like considering the consequences of her actions. Loki frowns, unfairly pretty. My children are always and forever doomed,
she confesses, looking Tony straight in the eye. But I cannot imagine not having them. She cradles her belly, not protectively, but gently, softly, holding. It's Tony's turn to frown, because she had a father who labeled her as a lost cause the moment he saw a vag where a dick should have been, and she knows it's not a nice thing to grow up with. You can't know that. Eyebrow. You still have not read up on our lore, have you? Have you read up on Twilight by now? Tony shoots back, earning her the second eyebrow and a load of silence. Loki waits for her to sigh and shake her head before going on. The lives of the Aesir are cyclical. We are born, we live, and come Ragnarok, we all die, only to be born again. We do not retain our full memories, but there are glimpses. Hints. The semi-amused expression morphs into something utterly blank. No matter what I do, the outcome is always the same. My children are always reviled and hated for their parentage. It can't really be... Tony tries, only to get cut off. It is. It always is. No matter what I do, no matter which path I choose... I am the villain and my children suffer for my imagined crimes. The god doesn't even sound angry. Just very, very cold. Hard, in the same way she did during the Chitauri disaster when they talked in the tower. Loki sounded just like this when he told Tony that he had an army. The world was going to burn. And in his voice was nothing but certainty, hard and immovable. It pissed Tony off then, and even more so now. Determinism. Now there's a cheery thought. Cheery is not the term I would use. How about convenient? Tony tries, snidely. Can't change it anyway, so why try? Why not throw people out of windows and be done with it? She's being aggressive. She knows it. She can see it coming from half a mile off, but Loki's attitude is making her angry like, whoa, 0 to 60 in less than a second, and there's nothing she can do about it. It must show on her face, because Loki sits, less graceful than a month ago. It puts some distance between them. You are being childish, she observes. I am merely stating facts. You're stating an excuse to not even try anymore. It's impressive, really, how fast and how totally Loki's face can lock down. Back to that mask Tony first saw almost a year ago, on Fury's big boat. The mask of a man intent on destroying the planet. It makes Tony feel very small and very cold. What do you know, little mortal, of what I try and do not try? I have attempted to escape my own fate since the dawn of time, and nothing I have done has ever changed the outcome. There's no bitterness there. Just the ice. Just the certainty. Tony rolls to her feet, almost lands ass over tea kettle, and starts grabbing her clothes. Bullshit, she says. This is complete and utter bullshit. It matters what you do, how you try. It matters which way you choose and how you do things. It matters. It has to matter, because if it doesn't, then all the shit that's happened to Tony was just random. It wasn't deserved. It wasn't there to make herself better. It was just
happened, and it means nothing, and if everything means nothing, she might as well put on her suit and sink herself in the Atlantic with the engines off. Things, decisions, choices, walking out of that cave and fixing things. It has to matter. It has to. She's dressing so fast her hands are shaking because she needs to get out of here, needs to get out, get away from that idea, from the look on Loki's face, needs to get away from that because if she doesn't, she'll break down and cry. A tiny little heap of broken stock on the floor, and she can't. She allots herself 2 hours after every major crisis to break down, and this isn't it. She can't. Not now. Can't. She has to go. She's a busy woman. She has a world to save and an energy problem to fix and maybe puppies to carry across the street and old ladies to kiss. And she needs to do those things because they matter. Because she did a bad thing, and if she redeems herself enough, she'll... It matters. It will matter. What she does now, what she tries to undo, it's not redemption because she doesn't believe in that. She's a futurist. The only thing she believes in is making things better, and so that's what she does. And it matters. You are being ridiculous, Loki observes, still in that bland, polite tone that really doesn't hide her fury. Your face is ridiculous, Tony snaps back, because there is a naked god with a baby bump sitting in the middle of rumpled sheets calling her ridiculous, and that's just... She giggles, bites her lip. Careful, comes the warning. Like Loki read her mind, and Tony remembers how, a few hours ago, they were teasing each other about caring, and now here they are, and Tony is so angry with Loki for giving up like that, for just lying back and taking it like nothing matters. But it does. It has to. Afghanistan, it has to. Of what, your face? Sorry, but unless you're going to cut me with your cheekbones, I don't see how this is a threat. Stark. Loki's growling now. Hey, look, anger! Tony grins, the phantom taste of blood already in her mouth, a sound like bombs going off ringing in her ears. Part of Tony wants to lunge and throw the first punch. Part of her wants whatever the god will do to her then, because there's an explosion sitting in her chest, waiting to happen. Something bright and brutal, just waiting to rip through her and out into the world. And isn't that the perfect metaphor? Tony is the perfect bomb. And she wants someone to push the big red button, because here she is, body too small, skin too tight, with something churning inside of her, helpless and nameless and angry. Tony gets so angry. But nothing of that makes it to the surface. All that shows is a smile like broken glass. That's my name. Don't wear it out, sweetheart. You do realize that I am a moment away from murdering you, yes? What are you going to do, defenestrate me again? The thought is tempting, yes. Great. Good to know where we stand. I am not the one suddenly behaving like a lunatic. Almost vibrating out of her skin, Tony does what she does best. She keeps prodding, keeps poking, keeps the lighter on the fuse. She doesn't even know why. She just knows that she has to. No, you're the one who blames their shit on fate, and fuck the rest. No wonder your kids end up as monsters and outcasts with you raising them, teaching them they have no chance. It's a cruel thing to say, because Tony knows that Loki loves that baby in her belly. But no one has ever accused Tony Stark of being kind when she's helpless. And right now, she's feeling as helpless as she ever did in that cave. Loki raises a hand, and Tony has a split second to think, oh, fuck! Or maybe that's, oh, yes! As she takes in the god's expression, pure rage, and then She's standing in the middle of a dirty, abandoned alley at the far end of New York, her jeans only half done up, shirt in hand, and no shoes.
Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Fuck.